If you can better think about the time when you have children in your house, or if you can actually remember the time when you have children in your house, you'll remember that you spend the first 18 years of your family life teaching them to be independent. And when they become independent, you wish they weren't quite so independent and the house feels empty. I hope that you're looking forward to that time when your house is empty and you can have it to yourself, because you've given your children the ability to live their own lives. Independence is a lovely thing in our lives today. We unfortunately are dependent on so many other people. We are dependent on the banks to look after our money, and we are dependent on the doctors to make us well, and we are dependent on the insurance companies to pay out when things don't go well. And we are dependent on friends to be really friends when we need them to. And so independence is a wonderful gift and a wonderful place to be in life, that we feel that we are people in our own right. We are independent to do what we want to do when we want to do it. But this morning, I want us to realize that even greater than independence is a sense of dependence, if that's not back to front for you. And I want to share with you what God has been showing to me over the last few days from Isaiah 55 about the fact that dependence is something which is wonderful. Let's read. I will read, and if you follow with me in your particular Bible, whichever version you have, God inspired the writers, and we as humans have sought to put it together in English and to understand it as best we can. And I'm reading from the NIV, the Nearly Infallible Version, and you may have a different one. But let's read it together and seek to hear God's heart speaking to us. I'll read this to you. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you do not know, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow up the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we have just opened and read your word this morning, and we ask we would say that we want to be those people who are ready to receive from you what your word has to say. And so we ask that in these next few minutes that we will hear what you have to say. We want to receive that, for we know that is the best word to receive. And so we open our ears and our minds and our hearts to your word for us this morning. Amen. I'm only going to bring out some of the thoughts I've had from the first three verses, but I wanted to read the whole chapter to put it in a little bit of context. And also, it may be that you read some words which you were familiar to you, and you thought, I never knew that was in Isaiah 55. Well, now you know. Isn't it lovely that we can just recall those verses? I well remember those times in Sunday school when I was in short trousers and was taught to memorize verses. And every day, and in every experience, God's word comes back to me in those verses, and I have to think, where is it that that verse is? And I have to look for it if I've forgotten where it is. The entrance of your word gives light, so says David the psalmist. Well, that's true. When God's word abides in our hearts, it just seems to sprout a little twig, a little shoot at the time when we need it. So memorize God's word. It'll save you an awful lot of angst and an awful lot of worry when God's promises come back to you. But let's just concentrate on the first three verses. I have 4 points for you this morning. I want to show you that God says, I want you to depend on me and I want you to come with me. So the first one is come to me. The second one is come with empty hands. Third, come with open ears. And fourthly, come with expectant hearts. So I trust you'll come on the journey with me. God gives us, I believe, these 4 points to hem us in all four sides, front, back, left, and right. God is speaking to us. It's not a good thing, is it, to be seen to be weak in the world today? It's not a good thing to be seen to be vulnerable and maybe unsure. It's a great joy and a great privilege to be wise. Very often we can be wise after the event. 2020 hindsight is one of the best gifts that you can ever have. Weakness and strength are seen to be two opposites. But God's word reminds us that when we are weak, God can be strong if we let him. And God was reminding the people of Israel through these words that it is good to remember that we are weak, because then we depend on him. If last week the word was desperation, this week the word is dependence. Not that we are so weak that we just have to reach out for something to hold on to, but the dependence is a positive move. Dependence is what we are designed for, because God has created us to be in his image and to bear his likeness, and so we depend on him. So God says, come to me. These words were most likely written for the people of Israel, either when they were coming to the end of their exile in Babylon or at the time when they were coming back to Jerusalem. Way back before God sent them into Babylon in exile for those 70 years, the people of Israel had been so frustrated that they weren't getting on as a nation, they weren't flourishing as a nation. And if you read back into Jeremiah, you find that the people were saying, let's go down to Egypt, that's where all the food is, that's where the good time is, that's where all the good life is. Let's go to Egypt. And God was saying through Jeremiah, you go to Egypt and you will perish. You will no longer be a nation anymore, because I'm sending you to Babylon. And they were saying, we don't want to go to Babylon, that's where horrid Nebuchadnezzar is. And he was saying, I'm sending you to Babylon because that's where I'm going. I'm going with you into that place of exile, but into that place of safety. you go to Egypt, he said, you're finished. Come with me into Babylon and you'll be safe. And that's why here in these words, God was saying through Isaiah the prophet, come to me, be where I am. We are invited to call and to eat and to delight and to come and to be in God's presence. One of the basic truths of our Christian faith is that we are where God is. When God is in us, then we are with God. That is the place to be. And God was saying here in these words, come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters, etc. God says, come to me. The basic building block of our Christian faith is they are with God. When you feel far from God, you feel alone, don't you? You feel abandoned, you feel vulnerable. And here Isaiah was reminding them, come to me, says God, for here you will find food. True independence or true development in our Christian faith comes from when we recognize that for every day and for every moment of every day, we depend on what God provides, on the plans that God has for us. And wherever God takes us, that's the best place to be. That can be tough, can't it? Because life can throw us a curveball. And life can throw out things which are horrible, things which are very undesirable, circumstances which we certainly wouldn't choose for ourselves. But God says, come to me, and that is the best place to be. Because when we are in God's presence, then we are covered by his presence, by his strength, by his love for us. God says, come to me. Secondly, he says, come with empty hands. He says, come and buy with no money. Money is very important to us today. We need it to live. We need it to buy food, clothes. It is the currency that we use, isn't it, today? But God says, come with empty hands. Come and buy with no money. Bring nothing to me, says God, and that is the currency I desire. We are programmed, aren't we, to be people who earn, people who perform, people who work for what we earn, people who are seen to be good and gifted. That is our currency. Very often in business, when people are thinking about employing others, and the interview panel will say to each other, what does this person bring to the table? What intelligence, what gifts, what abilities, what wealth do they bring? What worth do they bring to the position that we're wanting to fill? But you know, when God calls us to his table, he says, just bring your nothingness. There is nothing, says God, that is exchangeable for what I want to give you. There is nothing that God is prepared to trade with you with. Don't bring anything into God's presence. Just bring yourself, says Isaiah. I'd like us just to spend a moment, and I invite you to hold out your hands. Hold out both hands, if you want, hold out both hands with your palms facing down. And I want you then to just close your hands into a fist. And I want you to imagine that in those fists you are holding all the things that you hold dear, or maybe the things that you want to give up, that you don't want in your life. And that fear and prophecy, you're feeling right now that the nails are starting to dig into your palm and they're beginning to hurt as you perhaps hold on to those things that you want to hold on to. But God says, when you come into my presence, I want you to come with nothing. And so I ask you now, invite you to just open your hands slowly, and whatever was in your hands will now have dropped to the floor. And you don't have them anymore. And then God says, turn your palms up. And now they're empty. And now you can receive from me. That is what God asks us to do in our dependence on him. Everything we held dear dropped to the floor. And now our hands are empty and pointing heavenwards so God can fill them with his goodness and his love. We bring nothing. We bring nothing to the table. But that's how God wants us to be. Have you ever been in the playground or on the sports field, and there was a group of you and you're going to have a team game, and there are two captains, and they say, right, now we're going to pick the team. And so the captain says, I'll have him. And the other captain says, I'll have him or her. And they go down the line, and the captain, of course, is always picking the best, the most able, the most athletic, the most strong, the best team player. And as you go down the line, there are fewer and fewer left. And you are dreading that moment when you are the one person left, for which there is no choice. The remaining captain just has to have you. And you are the one who they consider to be the least able, and the weakest. I want to remind you that God chooses people like that. He chooses the last in the line. He chooses the weakest. He chooses the least able. He chooses the one who is least liked and appreciated and valued. He chooses the team of those people because he knows he's going to win, because he's the captain. That is why God says, come to me with empty hands, because I am the captain. Bring empty hands that God can fill with his best gifts and his best plans. Come to me. Come with empty hands. The third one is come with open ears. You might remember that we read in verse 2, listen to me and eat what is good. In life, there's many competing voices, aren't there? Voices that shout to us from media, voices that shout to us from work, from life, from home, from family. Our anxieties and our worries shout at us. What voice do we listen to? What voice shouts the loudest in our lives? Sometimes they're confusing voices. Sometimes they're very tempting voices. Sometimes they're voices that we like to hear because it gives us a nice feeling inside. And sometimes listening to what God has to say into a situation is probably the very last thing we want to hear, because we might be afraid of what he might say into our lives. But God was saying to the people of Israel, he said, listen to me, give ear to me. Are we wanting to know what God has to say in our lives? I would suggest to you that there is no better voice to hear than God's voice. But of course, you will say to me, how do I understand what it is that which is God speaking into my life, and which is that other competing voice? And of course, this is out of all the questions I believe that Christians ask, probably at the top of the list of top 10. I would say probably at the top of the list, or very near to the top of the list of questions that Christians ask, is, what is God's will? How do we know what God is saying? How do we understand and differentiate between those voices which sound good but are not what God is saying to us? I'm not going to answer that question this morning, because that's far too big. That would take a whole year of sermons. Except to say, I'm sorry about that, but except to say that when you want to hear what you want to hear, then you will hear it. And if your heart is saying, God, I want to hear what you're saying, his voice will be loudest. His voice will be clearest, because it's what you want. We always make time for what we want, and we always open our ears to what we want to hear. And God says, come to me with open ears. Not go elsewhere with your open ears. Come to me. I'll just ask you now again, just to take a moment to think through all the issues of your life where those voices are speaking into your life to maybe confuse you or to tempt you. All the valid things of life, family, work, home, friends. All those voices that are clamoring for your attention. And I would invite you to look upwards in your heart and say, Father God, I want to hear you. I invite you to do that right now. Finally, God says, come to me. God says, come with empty hands. God says, come with open ears. And finally, I believe that these verses tell us that he wants us to come with expectant hearts. Verse 3 says, give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. In the very deepest parts of your experience and your life and your understanding and your intellect, the very deepest part of your life, which is your heart or your soul, God says, come and give ear to me, not so that you might have a good time, but so that your soul may live. The seat of your emotions, the seat of your feelings, the seat, the origin of your heart, of your love and your desires for life, the deepest parts of you. Come, hear me, so that your soul may live. And out of that deepest part of our lives will flourish what God wants to happen. God's provision satisfies the deepest parts of our life. One of the difficult things, of course, is that God might be speaking into our lives and saying, the best is yet to come. And of course, for the Christian, it is. The best is yet to come. And that's tough, isn't it? When life doesn't give us everything or even part of what we want. We have to remember that God says the best is yet to come. And in these verses, Isaiah was reminding the people that David, the king of God's choosing, out of his family would come who would be king forever. And of course, those verses, that middle section, which actually it sounds as if it's God speaking to David. David the king, God's chosen man to lead his people. And of course, God's everlasting covenant through David was that the future is actually eternity. We can only appreciate our immediate circumstances, can't we? We can only make sense of what we find in our lives at this particular moment. But God has our eternal future in his hands. And so as he calls us to come to him and walk with him, So he says, I have your future in my hand. And if you come with me, you're walking into your future with me. It's tough, isn't it, when we have to suffer human life with all its unfortunate circumstances, that we have to remember that somewhere in God's future, in the future, God's best is there for me. He says, come with expectant hearts. God always has his eternal plans in view. And so God is saying to us, I believe this morning, it's good to depend on me. That's the place to be. Recognize that you can't do it on your own. You can't save yourself. You can't always change your circumstances. God might choose not to change your circumstances, but God says your life is forever and eternally changed when you come to me. And when you come to me with empty hands and open ears and expectant hearts, that is when our dependence changes into glorious peace and joy in the middle of unfortunate circumstances, yes. So I hope that dependence for you today and from now on will be a dependence that is exciting, a dependence which is hope-filled, and a dependence which realizes that God has your eternal future secure, and that the circumstances of life will be something that will pass because we will be walking into God's eternity. Depend on God. And in a moment, we're going to sing a song which includes the words, I depend on you for everything. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us through your word that you are the giver of every good gift. Thank you for showing us that you want us to come to you, just to open up our lives to you so that you can fill them. Father, in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of life, whatever that is for each of us, Father, we want to come to you. We want to be filled with your presence and your love and your purposes and your plans for us. And so this morning, in a new and a fresh way, we give our lives to you. For today is the first day of the rest of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Amen.